If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Four states in, I'm not sure how many days now, 3 days, something like that. So still on this whirlwind tour. I will be back at home tomorrow. And I'm so excited because we're having Steve Pagano on. He is going to discuss the JonBenet Ramsey case, specifically Patsy Ramsey's call on 911. He is a statement analysis expert. He studied under Peter Hyatt, one of his proteges, and we are so blessed to have him be a friend of the show. He's going to be on to talk about not only his analysis of the 911 call, but also of the Larry King Live show that Patsy Ramsey and John Ramsey did. So I'm really looking forward to his analysis. And so that will be tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. I hope you can all join us again. We're doing a steady, I would say we're going to do it for weeks and weeks, months and months on the JonBenet Ramsey case, just trying to really analyze and get to the forefront the information that's valid and true regarding that case that has really been forgotten, quite frankly. So we're going to be doing at least a show a week, if not more than one. Also hoping to put together a panel of experts two different nights this week, on one on the ransom notes. I want to get two dissenters and two believers in those notes on the show and give you their viewpoints of why they either believe or don't believe in the Nancy Guthrie notes, the two notes that came in that are being analyzed. And then finally, having a show on what the Commonwealth of Massachusetts should do moving forward in the Lindsay Clancy case. Again, the jury was hung. They could not come to a conclusion. How they ended up, interestingly enough, was deciding 11-1 in favor of not guilty by reason of essentially a defect that she did not have the mental capacity to know what she was doing. 11 jurors sided on that side of the position. And one juror, one male juror, stood alone and said, no, that isn't how I saw the evidence. And it's very interesting to see everything happening online. I also was just reading, but I don't have the receipts to put up. I'm doing everything from my phone here where I'm at. But in any event, where Reddington, the defense attorney, apparently is facing sanctions on another case. So really doing some deep diving on Reddington, and seems like this isn't his first rodeo with having issues with going against the bar in terms of what he's done, what he's said on different cases. So it'll be interesting to see, to deep dive into that perhaps. But nevertheless, Reddington, of course, completely dimed out this juror early on, pointed out it was a him over and over and over again. And there were only three male jurors, and that spawned, of course, creators and sleuths to figure out it was 1 in 3 chance who it was. So specifically him doing that, to me, kind of fruit of the poisonous tree. Once you drop the dime that instead of looking at 12 possibilities for being the lone juror, you say it's a male, that means now you're down to 1 in 3. And then, unfortunately, I believe he has been completely dimed out as to who he is. I think it only took a few hours, actually. Listen, the sleuths online are very, very good. Talked very highly about their abilities in the past, worked with many of them, and proud to have many of them on our staff that really help bring a lot of the research into focus. But I want to talk and get straight down to the point about Patrick Clancy. You know, there's three schools of thought on Patrick Clancy. Let's go through them all. 1, 2, 3. Number one, there is certainly a school of thought out there, and actually a social media, I don't know if I want to call it craze, but certainly a train that is going fast down the hill, that that Patrick Clancy murdered, strangled Cora Dawson and Callan, and then framed and convinced her, I guess to say she was guilty, basically set this whole thing up. There's just not one iota of truth to that rumor. There just really isn't. I don't even know if we want to call it a rumor. What it is, and I do understand this, it is so hard to believe a mom could do this, even though 400 to 500 plus moms do this every single year. They murder, commit suicide, or sorry, filicide against their children. It's terrible. Now, in most situations, there is, in fact, a huge amount, way lopsided, in the 90 percentile, I believe. They talked about this on the stand during this, the testimony in the trial, that usually happens as a result of pervasive and prolonged child abuse against the child, and then ultimately culminates in that child being murdered, filicide by the parent or parents. So obviously that's a different situation than we have here, because we don't have any documentation of her having some sort of chronic issue with abusing the children. In fact, we don't have any information that she abused the children at all in that sense. So we are at a different type, and this is where acutely it happens. In other words, all of a sudden, the mother killed the child. So that's the case we're dealing with, of course, here. We're seeing copycats. I'm going to do a whole separate show on the copycat, and I'm working to get a couple of doctors on with me. We've already had one, and I would like to get another on that just provides some sort of context and background in regard to this case from a different optic that I don't necessarily have. But back to the number one, or I'm not doing these in any special order, but number one is that Patrick killed. Now, first of all, digitally speaking, he just didn't do it. There's too much of a digital forensic footprint that shows he did not do it. He was not there. He didn't do it. It's just almost as blatantly obvious of a case as you can get, because you have Lindsay Clancy saying she did it, which I also find very interesting, of course, because again, the psychosis apparently happened for 18 minutes, but that's another show. Let's talk about Patrick.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.
To think that he did this. If you were in the courtroom and heard the 911 call, or you weren't in the courtroom, and you got to see a transcript version of essentially what happened during the call, which there's many out there. I posted one on my Twitter today. There's many out there because many people heard. So even though the judge denied the public to hear that, and that was a motion, by the way, put forward by Patrick Clancy. A lot of people don't know that. But Patrick Clancy, sort of following a bit in the footsteps of the Gonsalves family. Remember, they didn't want some of the exhibits and things to be in the public view after everything, after the judge said, listen, we're opening up the files. They were successful in blocking that. Along that same idea, that's what Patrick Clancy did with the autopsy photos, with any of the photos that were graphic in nature, as well as the 911 call. Now, quite frankly, I don't understand why he would want to block the 911 call from the public hearing it. I really don't. With everything we heard testified about, the brutality of this crime, it's kind of shocking to me that this would be a point of contention, the 911 call. I don't know whether I really don't understand it, other than if he didn't want to hear, because maybe he does monitor social media, he just didn't want to hear all the accounts, because everybody would have played the 911 call. Mainstream media, social media, everybody would have played it. And maybe he just didn't want to have to, you know, flip on his phone and have it come up. And, you know, I don't know. But he won that motion. And so I did post, though, the words that were said. And, you know, very believable, at least from what I read. And it's really, you know, terrible. I can't even imagine. I really can't imagine going out for, you know, carry out, having orders, you know, making sure you're getting the right Pedialax, phone calls in between these murders. Seriously, it's just unbelievable and unimaginable. I'm sure when he came home, found his wife there on the ground. It was interesting to me, of course, with her Jefferson fracture, which is the fracture of the C1 vertebrae. She was talking. She was coherent, and at least to some degree, as he put it. But certainly she was, you know, talking, even in her state of hypothermia combined with her fracture. And we know that by the 911 call. Then we move to where he wonders where the children are. He goes into the house, goes down to the basement, and finds them. And he said, oh my God, she killed him. I can't imagine listening to it, because on paper we'll never grasp the exclamation of such an event. But nevertheless, the point is, number one, what people are saying, that she didn't kill them, even though she claims she did, says she did, remember, because that spawned her then to purportedly try to take her life. That he did this is just, it's really outlandish. There's just not an ounce of truth. And I think it's the right thing that he has legal counsel saying, you better cease and desist, kind of a blanket. Just everybody out there, all you creators are trying to make money off of this lie, be forewarned. And I think that's the proper thing to do. We cuss and discuss true crime. Everybody does that's in the true crime world. I love our followers, both here on YouTube and on Twitter X, just the best. And when I say that, I mean so well-educated. When you look at the background of people that, and then you can just see their comments and know they're very, very thoughtful and really trying to break everything down, see both sides of the pancake. I've looked at the side of the pancake that says that he is somehow responsible, and I just can't find one shred of truth to that. That's my position. I'm always open in terms of, I know people send me things and say, but look at this. And I look at that and I say, yep, she did it. And that's really not what's in dispute. What's in dispute, of course, is, was she in her right mind? Was she able to really cognitively understand right from wrong? And even if she was she able to actually act on that, cognitively act on that? So let's move on to number two. Number two sort of school of thought about Patrick Clancy is, the guy has been through enough. He has lost his children. He stood by his wife. He deserves to make the money he's made. He made about $1.07 million on the GoFundMe, which I never really understood, because he said they use that for legal fees. You're not allowed to use things like that for legal fees for an accused murderer. So I was a little confused about that. But maybe he meant for his own, because, of course, he entered into a lawsuit. They both have lawsuits against the medical industry. They are not petitioned together. They are rather petitioned parallel. In other words, they both want the same thing. They're alleged, well, not want the same thing. They actually want different things, but they're both alleging the same thing. And that is that they were failed by the healthcare systems, and they're going after them, and they're going after the four practitioners and everybody and anybody involved in this. He is seeking at least $1 million, if not more. He's putting that into the hands of the jury. And so, you know, they want a lot of money for this. He's already gotten a lot of money, but he did donate a playground, put together a playground. He also ran a race. Many of you might have seen, I think he raised around $75,000 and donated that to a charity. He also started a charity for his children. We have no idea of the million plus that was made. What he's done with that money, we just don't know. He's in New York right now. He's married. He was married back in April to a physician. They seem to be very happy. He's running. You know, I've posted a few photos of him carrying on with his life Let me continue with this side of the pancake, and that he deserves that. He has suffered enough. Finding his children in that situation, losing everything he had in his life as he had it, having to sell his home, having to, you know, move away, I guess, to get away from the tragedy of it all. He deserves to be able to find happiness, to move on, to find health, and to have money, and to have money, more money than he already has. He makes hundreds of thousands as it is in the IT world. He's a professional. They made a lot of money, and there's nothing wrong with that. He worked hard. He made a lot of money. That's what a lot of people believe, is let the man be, let him get on with his life.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
He didn't want to be in court, they say. It was just too hard. Didn't want to relive it. He supported his wife to a degree, and he's moved on. The final school of thought is that, listen, all the warning signs were there. Pill bottles all over the place. You have a woman spiraling. And she herself, according to testimony, talked about and was pretty much ignored in terms of wanting to hurt the children. And that's a quote, wanting to hurt the children. And nothing was done. In other words, when I say nothing, the thing that should have been done, of course, was to remove the children and let her get squared away. And until she was squared away, not allow her to be alone with the children. It would have been a huge step, but they had a lot of help. They had both sets of parents that were very much involved in their lives and in the children's life, and they had a nanny. They had a lot of money. Also, he worked out of the house. So this is something that maybe she could have actually moved, which would have made a lot of sense. Have her move, have her go with her her family, get well, and then return, and return when she was healthy and well and able to be around them. Hindsight's 2020, though, but nevertheless, I think a lot of people have had the school of thought that he should have done more, because I think the testimony, in my opinion, was probably a little watered down. They admitted to her admitting that she wanted to hurt the kids, but I wonder what else she might have said. Never mentioned hearing voices, by the way. In addition, for some of us, and I was included in this camp, I really was. Shocked that he didn't want to be involved in more in the process of the court proceedings. And a lot of people said, oh, Jennifer, he was under the rule. Well, no, you're not under the rule after you testify. If you're subject to recall, could be, but certainly we saw this for as an example. A good example of this was the Lori Vallow trial. Remember, the grandparents testified and they asked about the rule and they asked to be moved up and to remain in the courtroom. Remember, her parents testified and they were in the courtroom. So it's really baloney. And just, I think, not having been through these trials, I well understand the rule. As an FBI agent, when you're the case agent, you're not subject to that rule. So I was always allowed to be in the courtroom and listen to everybody's testimony. And then I was the final, what they call a summary witness. But I'm very well educated and understand the rule. I thought it was very interesting when a community note was put together. And if you know about community notes, it just takes whatever the number is to say, okay, we want a community note. Just to add context is what my community note was. Well, the context was wrong. He was released. He went back to New York. If he were subject to being recalled or on, you know, the prosecution said they were going to recall him or the defense was going to call him. That was never the plan. So nevertheless, my whole point was, and really my whole point was really missed with all that sidebar, is that I don't care whether you're in the courtroom, right outside the courtroom, certainly verdict watch, just to hear the verdict. Me personally, wild horses couldn't have kept me away. If my husband even just say, I believe that he did something not in his right mind, and I know everybody's different. I also understand people grieve different. I also understand I haven't been in those shoes, so how can I say that? I think I can just say that knowing me and my personality. Wild horses could not have drug me away, could not have done it. And so really, though, is it fair for us, to judge Patrick Clancy on what me would do? No. So I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to show you that side of the pancake, and that side of the pancake was just jumping off, the skittle or the the pan, for me really was. The other thing was from the beginning, I've been dumbfounded with this money raising, particularly when it came to her parents. In her parents' GoFundMe, it specifically says it's not used for lawyers, it's not used for that. It specifically says it's used for them to sort of get back on their feet because they've been a part of these trials. They've been, you know, whatever, time away from work. Or time away from their savings, I should say, not work, but money spent. They're asking for $3 million. That's profit. And they're not allowed to use that according to GoFundMe rules for lawyers' expenses. And remember, there were other funds, his fund that he did for that. And there's so many funds out there and so many money collection efforts, millions of dollars. I just don't get it. It's just me. It's just my view. Not everybody has that view. Like I said, I talked about point number two, that a lot of people think, listen, give him all the money he can take. He deserves it. He just lost his three kids. I just can't imagine profiting. And that's how I see it. Profiting off of this tragedy. I really can't. I mean, he obviously hopes to make millions on his lawsuits. Maybe he's going to use that and put that all in the foundation. I know his foundation is about education about postpartum depression and things like that. Very worthy cause. Of course, we'll never see the spreadsheet. We will never know how much goes to that as opposed to other things. And it just bothers me, I guess, because I see the kids, Cora, Dawson, and Callan, and I think, I don't know. I haven't been a day in those shoes, but I just can't imagine asking for handouts. Even if it's for a foundation, I would have done a foundation in a different way. I just don't want handouts because my children died or were murdered. Oh, no, that's just me. That's just me. I'm going to pay for it myself. I'm not going to beg money from people. That's just how I feel about it. But there's three schools of thought. And I think most people, I'm not sure, I'm doing a poll right now, but I think most people are in the vein of number two. Let the man go. Let the man heal. Let him get on with his life. He didn't ask for this. And I waver. I'm a little bit, I get two, but I just don't know. If my husband comes to me and says, I have PTSD from being a Marine, say, and says, I'm thinking about hurting the kids, you know, like Travis Decker did. Think about hurting the kids. She got him the heck out of there. I mean, it was terrible that they were court ordered to get visitation. That was terrible ruling. But nevertheless, I'm not letting my kids around anyone. Dad, mom, sister, uncle, teacher that says they want to hurt my child. No, no, no. My 5 and 3 and 8 month old. Mm-mm. So I just offer this as a, you know, contextual. I think we all come from different places on this issue, but I wanted to just touch base about Patrick Clancy. I'm not trying to burn him at the stake. I mean, to be honest, he has suffered so much. You can see it in that 911 call. I totally understand that. But again, on the flip side, at what point, for instance, all these TikTok nut jobs that are talking about, you know, they're splashing waters on their kids, they're otherwise putting, you can hear the kids screaming, they're talking about same, you know, how they feel for all this. At what point do we say, call CPS? Like, if I'm that husband and I know about these TikToks, I am out. There is no way, if I can afford it. And you almost have to find some way to save those children, because I think that's what it comes down to, rescuing, saving the children from something like this. Again, I'm going to go over the case in Illinois, but I'm doing a whole separate show on that. Again, a woman who idolized Lindsey Clancy, apparently, the actual words in the court documents. So idolize, that is my opinion, based on the totality and her actions that followed. But let's just say it how they said it in the court documents, immersed. So she became immersed. She was even communicating, texting about Lindsey Clancy up until the time that she decided to put a rope around her two-year-old's neck and hang him from the rafters. So no doubt the postpartum defense will be used. I wouldn't doubt that somebody will want to take this case to make a name for themselves. I don't know. So it begins. But nevertheless, Patrick Clancy, I pray for everyone in that family, everyone who loved those children. I really do. I pray for them. And there's no winners. And the biggest losers were Callan, Dawson, and Cora. And I won't be forgetting that. All right, everyone. Until next time, may justice be served for the Clancy children. They're the victims.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.